Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, May 17th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 82. That first paragraph starts with, "Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded, ending rather than risk a face-to-face combat." Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen KZ, 12 Traditions, Christy B. Readers of the text will be Kara L., Penny LC, and Robin P. The reference number for Monday, May 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,263. That's 20263. And for this morning, Wednesday, May 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,269. That's 20269. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Carla C., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Karen KZ to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ. I will now ask Christy B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Christy B., recovering in Washington State. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christy B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 82, the first paragraph. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded, ending rather than risk a face-to-face combat. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Kara L. to begin reading.
Hey, Don. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. No outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. It may be that both will decide the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. Each might pray about it, having the other one's happiness and the utmost in mind. Keep it always in sight that we are dealing with that most terrible human emotion, jealousy. Good generalship may decide that the problem be attacked on the flank rather than risk a face-to-face combat. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. And I know that we've been studying this, you know, few paragraphs on, you know, extramarital things, affairs and such. But the one phrase that I like to take to heart out of this paragraph that always sticks out to me, and I have it highlighted again, is each might pray about having the other one's happiness utmost in mind. And, you know, I think about that. I go, do I do that in my relationships? Or do I decide that I know what is best for everyone around me? So when I look at this, I say, oh, it might be that both will decide the way of good sense and loving kindness. Do I look at my relationships with loving kindness? Am I saying, you know, higher power, I don't know what to do here. Can you show me the way that, you know, to make my partner the most happy? Or my, you know, if I'm in a different, you know, somebody at work, or no, usually I decide I know what's best for everybody and I get all self-righteous and then I have to write a step 10 because then of course I get resentful because you're not acting the way I want you to act, right? And so when I look at this today, I'm like, okay, reminder, breath, God, how am I best serve this other person? What can I do to keep their utmost happiness? How can I serve in that way? how, you know, my sponsor, you know, often says when I'm faced with a dilemma and I ask her for input, she often says to me, what is the most loving thing you can do? I want to take that with me today. The utmost happiness of others and the most loving thing and loving kindness, because that's what I need in my life. And that's the way forward for me today. I'm grateful for that today. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Press star one if you'd like to share and just tell me your name and first initial.
Karen E.
Murray R.
Was that Karen E?
Sharon.
Sharon E. Very good. And Marie, who is that other? Marie R.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I have Veronica B., Sharon E., and Marie R. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Janice K.
Janice K. Okay, let's get started with that lineup. I have Veronica B., Sharon E., Marie R., and Janice K. Veronica B., please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Veronica from Los Angeles, recovered compulsive overeater. And right away, I had to chime in on this, how I relate to this paragraph. The word that describes me is jealousy. The most terrible human emotion for me. I hate to admit that that's my number one character defect, jealousy. And when I'm in a relationship with my partner, any partner really, it doesn't matter who it is, my character defect of jealousy always pushes them away, because I depend on other people to give me security. I depend on others to make me happy. And this kind of living brings me a lot of depression. And I worked so hard in recovery to let God in so that he could remove it on his own time. You know, as a compulsive eater, I don't cheat on my my relationships, but I think they cheat, even though they have no evidence to show me that they do. It's just something, I don't know where I got it from. And this really brings me a lot of misery and depression. And this is just old ideas. It's old ideas. So I did the work. I got my spiritual awakening. I get in line with God, and then, like, I'll just take my will back. You know, and if I'm not spiritually fit that day, guess what? I take my will back. And so this is why I have to work extra hard to take a lot of contrary action to how I'm thinking. And it's once I start taking contrary action, like read my daily spiritual readings, stay connected with you fellows, show up to my meetings even when I don't want to show up. Help others. Work with newcomers. Even though I think it may not work out, I just say yes to sponsorship. It's all of this I learned here in the program, to take contrary action, trust God, help others, and clean house. And it's not an overnight matter for me. So I'm still asking God, and I'm open to let God in and help remove this awful, awful character defect that I have of jealousy. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Sharon E., please share with us, followed by Marie R.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay, good. Well, I'm speaking through one of these earphone things. I'm just making sure. Okay, Sharon E., gratefully recovering compulsive overeater from Ohio. Thank you all for your service. I didn't get to hear yesterday's meeting, but I looked at it. And I guess, yeah, we're talking about the fact that there's jealousy going on, or basically resentments. And it says, let bygones be bygones, and each might pray about it, having the other one's happiness uppermost in mind, which is hard to do because, you know, we think about our own happiness most, right? We're self, 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 self. That's a lot what the book's about, self, trying to get over self. And I've got here, read 552, and it's the resentment prayer, where if you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you'll pray for the person you resent, you'll be free. You ask for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, like health, prosperity, happiness, and you'll be freed. And even when you really don't want to do it, you just through, they always told me through gritted teeth, just God, give them what they want. You know, 2 weeks it says. And they say that you'll be free. And frankly, I believe that. And when it says each might pray about it, having the other one's happiness uppermost in mind, you're really saying don't consider yourself in this, because considering oneself, again, the word self, it's just non-productive, like at all. So anyway, that's what I've learned from all of that. And I thank you all for your service today. Have a wonderful day, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon E. from Ohio. Marie R., please share with us, followed by Janice K. If you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 82, talking about that first paragraph. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded, and we're talking about that one paragraph today. So, Marie R., please share with us. Star 1, Marie. Perhaps Marie had to step away. Janice K., are you available to share?
Yes, I am. Hi,
okay.
I'm Janice K.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, is that Marie?
Yes.
Okay, okay, go ahead, Marie, and then we'll have Janice K.
My phone's doing stuff it normally doesn't do. I apologize.
No worries. Well, we can hear you now, so go ahead.
Okay.
Take your 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Marie, and I'm a compulsive eater. I have about 2 weeks in, and I think we were reading about infidelity, I thought it sounded like. It was such a small paragraph. I wasn't sure. And character defects, but, you know, I have a sponsor, and I am, you know, I've been abstinent 2 weeks, and, you know, I'm really struggling. I mean, I know it's not too much about the paragraph, but I just needed to be heard. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Marie R., and fantastic job with those 2 weeks. Beautiful. Janice K., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Janice K., Oregon. Oh boy. I have a complex amend that I'm currently working on. So I am listening carefully to the suggestions that are made in the paragraph. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. You know, I still don't get to tell someone else's story. I still don't want to get into the he said, she said, who said, what, when. All I want to do is my side. But the thing is, like it goes on to say, no outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. So I get to go into this saying, okay, God, show me where I need to go. Give me the words I need to say. It may be that both will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones speak of bygones. It took me years to reach that point, and I'm kind of coming out of nowhere with these people. Maybe they have been working on this too. And it may be that we will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness should predominate. But even if it doesn't, that's what I bring to the table. That's my part. Have I been praying about it, having the other's happiness most in mind? Nope, 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 nope. I've just been asking that it be easy. Oh, it is still about me. Keep it always in sight that I am dealing with that most terrible of human emotions. I think they're all pretty hard. In the harms inventory, it asked me, did I arouse jealousy, bitterness, or suspicion? Bitterness? Oh, yeah. That one is also, that one is almost as seductive as fear and resentment. It probably combines them. Good generalship may decide that the problem be attacked on the flank rather than risk face-to-face combat. I think that's a possibility. What is to be attacked? How do I attack on the flank? I send something in the mail. They have the option to open. They can just tear it in half and throw it away. It's an attack from the flank rather than... I've thought about doing this face-to-face, and I think, wow, that really, if it was me, it would feel like an ambush. So all of this has been, you know, it was the top of page 80 that gave me the four guidelines. Get their consent. That was the consent of other parties. And check my own part of it out. I'm not responsible for how they feel. I can't make them come with good sense and loving kindness. I can just bring it on my part and ask for God's guidance and hope for the best. So thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice Kay from Oregon. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 82, the first paragraph, starting with perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Margaret D.
Margaret D.
Robin P. Costa Rica.
Robin P. And then who is the gentleman's voice?
Zach A. from Utah.
Zach A. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Liz A.
Liz A. All right. Let's take that lineup. Beautiful. We have Margaret D., Robin P., Zach A., and Liz A. Margaret D., please go ahead and get us started.
Thank you. My name is Margaret D., and I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater, but I really know that I'm recovered only through God's grace and mercy. I've been listening to the 7 o'clock and the 8 o'clock, and just was having a little bit of tornado in my head, if you will, about this particular paragraph. The latest or the last amends that I've been working on that was sexual in nature. It was sexual in nature, but involving jealousy. Was actually with an older brother. And I had been nursing this for years and years, ever since I was 5 years old, about, you know, how bad that sibling was and blah, blah, blah. Just, I kept getting a little bit better and they kept getting a little bit worse, that kind of thing. So I asked my higher power through two-way prayer to show me how to deal with this. If I was to have it for the rest of my life, fine, so be it. As long as God was going to show me my next step on a regular basis about what to do. And what happened was I ended up writing him a letter thanking him for something that he had done when I was a teenager. And I was so amazed when this idea popped into my head, because for all those years, I'll be 72 soon, for all those many years, it had been all about me, and I was a victim, and I was victimized, and this and that and that. And then I thought, the intuitive thought came to me, but in 72 years or 65 or 68 years, has he never done anything? I mean, that's a pretty good record for anybody to maintain anything for that many years. I mean, even bad people screw up and do something good, and good people fall into the pit and do bad things. So I sat down, got in touch with my sponsor. We spent a lot of time on figuring out what it was exactly that I wanted to say. I ended up writing this thank you card out for his kindness when I was a teenager. And the day that I was going to put it in the mail, he called. It was the first time he had called me in 24 years. Now, if that is not God doing for me what I cannot do for myself, then I don't know what is. And we had a conversation that on my side of it was, there was no rancor. There was no bitterness. It was just absolutely filled with amazement. So the whole thing that I'm trying to get through here on this is that if I'm still feeling resentment or anger or some emotion, that jealousy, then I think I need to go back and do some more work on either, you know, my 10th step or my 4th step, or just digging into the situation more. Because there's no time, there is no place, no event where God does not. And for 68 years or whatever, I'd kick God out of that relationship. So with that, I pass, and I hope everybody has a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. Robin P., please share with us, followed by Zach A.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thanks so much, Dawn, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. Thank you very much. You know, I think that it's so great that each may pray about, might pray about it, keeping having the other one's happiness uppermost in mind, no matter what. And I think that this paragraph was written by Bill W., who, you know, had there's a lot written about his, you know, relationships. And so I just think that it's the ninth step is, except when to do so would injure them or others. You know, make direct amends, except when to do so would injure them or others. And, you know, if it's going to cause more harm, then it's not to be shared. And that's the blessing of working through the steps with a sponsor and doing them the steps in order with the help and guidance of someone who's gone through the steps before me, before us. And I've gone through the steps a few times, and I'm so grateful for that caveat, because I don't want to cause more harm. I want to repair relationships. And so I think that that's a really important paragraph, and to know that I want the other person's happiness. And I think that's a great thing to pray every day anyway, you know, for my husband's happiness, for or the dogs who adopted us, their happiness, the people in my life, just everyone's happiness. And how can I be of service to God and my fellows? We're in Costa Rica. We're about to, in about a month, we're coming back to the States for 3 months to see if we find a home there for half the year. And there's a lot of steps along the way, and all of it is just, I'm literally working the steps about the dogs, seeing if we're meant to take them with us. To the U.S., that they were jungle dogs when they came to us a year ago, and they were starving. So we're doing our best. We were trying to adopt them out here, and no one was adopting them. So there's just so many things to do, and I just keep praying. I can practice these principles in all of my affairs, including these dogs. So thank you all for your prayers. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Zach A., please share with us, followed by Liz A., then I'll be taking some names. If you're just joining us, we are on page 82, the first paragraph. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded, ending rather than risk a face-to-face combat. We're talking on that one paragraph only today. So Zach A., please share with us, followed by Liz A., and then I'll take some more names.
Hey, it's Zach A. from Utah. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And I just really like how you see a little bit of Bill. Someone shared with me that Bill was, he was in the war, right? So he's thinking in terms of military. So good generalship, a general of an army is the person who decides how the army should attack the battle, right? And so a problem should be attacked on the flank. Sometimes it's better to attack it on the flank than head on. So yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't know how to manage my life. I don't know how to, there may be some amends that I need to do that I don't want to do. There may be other amends that I think, yeah, I'm going to do this, and then God doesn't guide me to do it. So I need to seek my higher power's guidance on how to go about this. And I'm still very inexperienced with this, but I just really like how Bill uses that metaphor of an army. And I had a sponsor remind me too that God is my field marshal. So I'm in the war right now, and I need to listen to the field marshal to tell me what to do, because I might think, oh yeah, this is a good idea to go over here and attack it from this angle, and it might end up exposing me to a really bad experience that's not necessary if I'm just, because the field marshal sees the whole picture. He has the map of the territory. So I really need to just be humble and realize I don't know what the heck is going on with my life, and I need to give up myself to a God who loves and cares about me, who's powerful, who's personal, who's perfect, and who also understands and wants the best for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Zach A. from Utah. Liz A., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning. This is Liz A. from California. Thank you all for your service and the terrific shares this morning. Haven't shared in a while, and wanted to get right back into it. The first thing that struck out at me was the way of good sense and loving kindness and having the other's utmost happiness in mind. And, you know, I've been told that Bill wanted to teach and to really get us to understand the concepts. And so he repeated them over and over in different ways throughout the book. And this brings me back to the chapter, There Is a Solution, where he says we have to have the constant thought of others. And again, here, having the other's happiness utmost in mind, because I forget, you know, my forgetter forgets a lot of things. So I forget about that. And then the other thing which struck out at me was the terrible human emotion, jealousy. And I'm not looking at it from the point of view of arousing jealousy in another, but rather my own jealousy and how that terrible character defect has really permeated through my life. I didn't think it had. My husband, as far as I know, has been faithful to me since we've been married and never aroused jealousy in me. And so I didn't think, you know, that this even applied. But you know, when I look at my relationships with my family of origin, so many of the problems were caused because of jealousy, you know, between myself and my brothers. And then with friendships, I have an AA sponsor that has 13 sponsees, and I'm always struggling to compete for her attention. You know, I need. And I notice that even with my dog, you know, if my dog is going to my husband all the time instead of to me, I get jealous, you know, and it's all about, someone else said this, but it really got me. It's all about me needing others' love and attention and approval, you know, because of this emptiness that I feel inside that I want to fill up. And I was listening to a podcast where someone said that instead of the emptiness, think of it as spaciousness, and spaciousness to fill with love for others. And that was just wonderful. And so with that, I will pass. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. We are sharing on page 82, that first paragraph, perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded, talking about that one paragraph today. And if you would like to share on that, please go ahead. I'm going to be taking the names of people who would like to. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you'd like to share in this paragraph, go ahead, press star 1 and give me your name and initial.
Sue N. D.
Sue N. D.
Sue N. D as in David. From
Sue
New York.
N. D as in David. Very good.
A-N-N-E.
Could you spell your first name again, please?
S-U-E-A-N-N-E.
All right. Well, that's Sue Ann D. from
Shreya
New York.
R.
Shreya R?
Freya R, yes.
Oh, Freya R. Very good. Thank you so much.
Kathleen O.
Michelle E.
Kathleen O. and Michelle E. And we'll stop there. Michelle E. Okay. So Sue N. D. from New York, please share with us, followed by Freya R. Go ahead, Sue N. Press star
Hi.
1. There we go.
I'm Sue Ann D. from New York, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I have been in OA for close to 18 years. This paragraph, I thank you for your service. And I also wanted to say that this paragraph and the comments that people made about it, I just did my defects, and I realized that I did not put jealousy anywhere on my list, and I need to do that because I am a jealous person, and I think it comes from my own insecurity about who I am and how I lived my life with this disease. And I look at other people with envy who have lived an abstinent life, people who have long-term abstinence, and people who have given up their will and created a new wonderful life for themselves, with serenity and peace and freedom. And I think jealousy does stand in the way, because for me, I interpret it as not really allowing me to take action, but just looking at others in envy does nothing. It doesn't help me. If anything, it takes away from the beauty that my life can offer me. And this was a really good heads up as to something I need to focus on and take to my higher power and really work on. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sue Ann B. from New York. And I apologize for the difficulty I had with your name there. I'm not sure why. Anyway, thank you so much. And Freya R., please share with us, followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, I'm Freya R. in California, and I am a compulsive eater, overeater as well. And I am listening and faithfully working, well, quote, faithfully working for about 6 years on, you know, getting abstinence, actually getting recovery. And these last few days, the reading and the sharing on the meeting have really helped me to see what my sponsor's been trying to tell me for a couple of months. And that's, I think it's the thing that has impeded my recovery. And just this whole amends process and getting to the point of seeing it clearly and seeing it from God's perspective. And even some of the metaphors that were just shared of Bill as a general, and this is direction for, like, for a battle. It's not just general for, like, a yesterday's phrase from the book, I can't remember, A Design for Living. It's a generals are actually at a battle, and I can feel that battle in my spirit, soul, whatever you want to reference it as, when it comes to, like, the thought of humbling myself and making an amends for the jealousy, for the sibling rivalry, for the, you know, yesterday's meeting about marriages and how Bill talked about preferring one another in love and all of that. I mean, I could feel this intense battle inside of myself, not wanting to do it. And so this is the imposition for me getting to the point of maybe getting fully recovered if I can surrender and humble myself. And I, yeah. So anyway, thank you so much. The last few days, those shares have just really been moving and encouraging. And like I said, even that metaphor. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Freya R. from California. And Kathleen O., please share with us, followed by Michelle E. And if you could both take like 2 minute shares, I think we could fit everybody in. So go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. So we are dealing with the most terrible human emotion, jealousy. And I looked up jealousy, and it's a complex emotion that encompasses feelings ranging from suspicion to rage to fear to humiliation, typically aroused when a person perceives a threat to be valued to a valued relationship from a third party. The threat may be real or imagined. And it's interesting because jealousy has never been something that I've been plagued with at all. I've always been very trusting of others. And my husband had spent a lot of time with another woman who they were friends, quote unquote, because they enjoyed writing. They were in this club together. It was a writing club. And then pretty soon they were doing this together without the club. But I never once thought I had anything to be concerned about because, I don't know, jealousy just never entered my mind. But haha, I was wrong. So, you know, one of the things that I love in this book is, so that last sentence, good generalship may decide that the problem be attacked on the flank rather than risk face-to-face combat. And that again is talking to our sponsor. You know, I believe that true love is having the other person's happiness utmost in mind. And I need to always take that into consideration whenever I'm making any kind of amends. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. And Michelle E., please share with us. Star one, Michelle.
Hello. Hi, this is Michelle E., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. I will just go through this really quickly. Utmost frankness So over Mother's Day, I had two of my three daughters with me, and one of the daughters went to sleep throughout her visit, and then she was getting ready to go with her husband to visit her mother-in-law, and she had a beautiful dress that she was going to wear to dinner with her mother-in-law, and that meant that she would be fully awake and fully present with her. And it took me about 24 hours to figure out what was going on, and it was jealousy. But I see jealousy less and less as an enemy or to be shameful of it. But I really appreciated it because what it prompted me to do was to do my spot check inventory and to go inside and look at what the heck was going on. And through that process, I was able to see that my daughter now has a mother-in-law, a woman who's also a mother, because my daughter is a mother too, that a woman she can connect with, a woman that's has a lot of similarities like her. She and I are very different, but this beautiful woman is quiet. She's refined. She's not loud like me. There's just things that are attracted to my daughter towards her. And with that, I just found such joy because she has a woman in her life now that's also a mother that she could relate to. And that just was such a gift for me to see. And through my jealousy, it directed me back towards love. So ironic. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle E. from California. And we do have time for like a 1 minute, 1.5 minute share if someone would like to take that and hasn't shared in the last 3 days. Press star 1 to unmute if you'd like to share.
Hi, this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. Go ahead. You've got about 1 minute. Go ahead.
Awesome. I just wanted to thank everybody for their shares. It's just, I'm pretty new, and it's just so instructive to hear all of this. It's very helpful, and I just really appreciate this meeting. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brenda, for sharing. And we'll go ahead now and close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, Don, thank you. This is Penny L.C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.